Good morning, and welcome to our seventh session in Abounding in Favor. I have truly enjoyed doing this. It has reawakened some things that I let slide in me, and today we're going to be doing our seventh session. I think we'll have one more after. I know we'll have one more after today, and it's just hard for me to believe that here we are doing this session on the 1st of June already. I trust everyone had a good Memorial Day and celebrated, but also remembered what we're celebrating, those who have given their lives, that we might have freedom to do something like we're doing this morning. That just means so much to me. Let's pray as we get started this morning. Holy Spirit, we just say you're welcome in this place today and in the homes or the cars or walking, wherever people are listening to this. I thank you for your love for us. I thank you that you teach us in the way that we should go, and we say you counsel us with your eye upon you so we won't stray off that path that you have for us. And Father, open our eyes to your heart to manifest more and more favor to us as we study today on the areas that you like to bless us in. So we give you praise and glory and honor, Jesus, and we thank you for your love and the sacrifice you made for us. And it's in your name we pray and say amen and amen. I want to, before we get started on today's session, do a really quick review on what we talked last week when we talk about seeing his favor manifest in us. And that was our second session. We've been anchored on Psalm 5:12, "For you bless the righteous, O Lord, and you cover them with favor as a shield." Now, as I studied this, the word cover jumped out at me. And that's is the word that is used there. It reminds me of the Jewish word for covering, which is huppah. And this can be spelled with a C, too, on the front of it. But it means blessing, and it's love displayed. In other words, favor that is disposed to us, just like we've talked about. Now, Psalm 41, verse 11 says, "By this I know you favor me, because my enemy does not overcome us." And we've looked at a lot on protection. Psalm 3, verse 4 talks about how we're going to find favor and understanding when we seek wisdom. And we understand what he wants us to do. And it goes on to say that that's going to help us gain a reputation of what? Living well. And you're going to see some more of that today. And that ought to encourage us. I like this verse in Psalm 84, verse 11. And it's pertinent for today, so I want to read it in this review. It says, "For Adonai," and this is complete Jewish Bible, "God is a sun and a shield." And it says, "Adonai bestows favor and honor." So I want you to begin to see these as coming together quite often, because that's going to be what we really wrap up with some things about how we're honored. We looked last week in protection at battles that were won with fights and with no fights. We saw in Psalm 44:3 that talking about the children of Israel, there was no fighting because he gave them that land. They didn't do anything to take it themselves. There was no work required, and it was because he favored them. We saw in Jonathan's victory in 1 Samuel 14, where they were at a tremendous odd. They were outnumbered in every way. And yet Jonathan, even though he didn't have the strategic advantage of height, did what the Lord instructed him, took the battle to them with the favor of God upon him, and just defeating those 20 men created such a change. The earth tremored, the people saw it, and had three different people groups join the battle against the Philistines. So, great favor and great results from that. We also saw that favor is restoration or recovery of what has been lost or stolen. And we looked at three verses. We saw that the Lord said in Jeremiah 22 in the Amplified that said, that they were there until the day I visit them with my favor. And I think that's chapter 27 as I look at my notes, not 27:22. We also saw in Exodus 3 that you see what the Lord said about when the people left. He said, prophesying about it, he said, "I'm going to grant you favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you won't go empty handed." And he did exactly what he said. But what happened also? There was a judgment. And I think it's important to note who was judged. It wasn't just the Egyptian people, but it was the gods of the Egyptian people that were causing them to do these things that they were doing. And then finally, we can't talk about that restoration and favor without looking at 2 Corinthians 5:19. Again, from the Amplified, it was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself. And then what's he done? He's given us, as this verse continues, and says that he's committed to us this work of reconciliation to his favor in the world today. So it's a picture of a God who delights, who cares so much about his people, that he wants to restore all that the devil tries to steal. So today we're going to wrap up this session, I hope, on seeing his favor manifest. And I first want to talk about increase. Now, when I talk about increase, we're going to look at some examples of financial, but I don't want you just to think money, money, money. That's not the focus. The focus is seeking him, and his favor will come. So with increase, there are three areas that we want to look at. The first is dealing with financial, and there's many elements of this. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time because I think we're at a time when the wealth of the wicked has been stored up, and it's time to have it turned to the hands of the righteous so we can get done what needs to be done and get people saved and let the Lord come back and gather us together. So there's many examples in Scripture, but we're going to look just at two. But before I look at them, I'm going to set the tone for it. And it goes back to what the Lord said to Abram when he sent him out from his nation. He said, I will make a great nation of you. I will bless you. And then it has this phrase, I will make your name great. There's only one other time it's talking about that. And it's talking about Job and saying that Job was a man of great wealth. So this is talking about, I'm going to make your name great by making you a prosperous man. But this is the phrase that we must keep focused on. And you shall be a blessing. That's us. We're being blessed to be a blessing. And we're, again, talking not just about money, but we are talking about that. Now, with Abram, there was a condition added to it also. He said, I'm going to bless all nations through you. And we know that was talking about Jesus. But now we're that same revealer of Jesus in this, as we're committed to this work of reconciliation. So I want you to just see what the Word says about Abraham in Genesis 24, verse 35. The Lord, this is when he sent his servant to look for a bride for Isaac. And look what the servant says. The Lord has greatly blessed my master so that he has become rich. He has given him flocks and herd and silver and gold and servants and maids and camels and donkeys. So I want to ask you, is this verse still pertinent? Does it still pertain to you and I today? And the answer is yes. We know the Lord doesn't change, but let me just remind you of two verses, Galatians 3:14, that the blessing might come on the Gentiles, that same blessing that was on Abraham it's talking about. In the 23rd verse, it says, we are heirs of Abraham. And so that means that those promises of the blessing, just like you're about to see that went to Isaac, do what? They are ours today also. But I want to say one more time, we must believe for them and receive what he wants to give us. Everything that he wants to give us coming spiritually, we must receive in this carnal realm, in this earthly realm that we live in today. Concerning Isaac, this is a great chapter in chapter 26. And I want to read a few verses to you. And I want you to just to pick up on the fact that he is telling him that this favor is going to be bestowed on him in a certain place. That's why it's so important that we hear God and move to those areas that he relocates us in, either physically in where we're living or in changing jobs, or maybe it's in staying in a place, as is the case here. Verse 1 through 3, there was a famine in the land. And besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. Now, what did Abraham do when that famine came? He went to Egypt because that's what the Lord told him to do. Listen to the Lord every time. So Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go to Egypt. Now, that would have been natural for him to do. It's what his daddy did. Stay in this land, which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land And here's the promise, and this promise is ours. I will be with you. I will bless you. For to you and your descendants will I give all these lands. I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. Now he is an heir to Abraham, and so are we. So we can take this same promises ourselves. Now look down to verse 12. He stays in this land. Remember, there's a famine. And the Lord tells him to conduct business there, to sow. So it says in verse 12, Isaac sowed in that land, and he reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Now, can I tell you that not only did the Lord bless him, but he was able to do what? Through sowing and reaping, he was able to provide food not only for himself, but for others in the land. Now, yes, they were paying him for it, and that, again, increased his wealth. But look at what it says. The man became rich because the Lord blessed him and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. Now, I just say to you, out of caution, don't say, well, I don't need that kind of stuff. That says you're just thinking about yourself. Begin to see what potential you and I can have as we give more, as we do more in the kingdom, as we are placed in a position to be more of a blessing, not only because we've been blessed so we can give money, but it's because of what we can do, even ministering like this. I'm able to, because the Lord has blessed me financially, to do some things like this. And it just, that encourages me so much. It goes on to say in verse 14, that he had possessions of flocks, plural, and herds, plural, and a great household, so much that the whole country of Abimelech, the Philistines, envied him. Now, non-believers who aren't celebrating the victories you have may not see this the same way you do. Some jealous believers may not see this the same way you do as well. Now, look down in verse 15. So here are the Philistines, they're in a famine. The only people who's growing food is Isaac and all his clan, and that's providing them food. And look at what it says, because they envied him. Now the wells which his father's servants, Isaac's servants, had dug in the days of Abraham, the Philistines stopped up in filling them with earth. Now, talking about just cutting your nose off to spite your face, that's exactly what they were doing. They were limiting the source of the provision that Isaac was able to be blessed and then bless them in times of famine. 16 says, Abimelech said to Isaac then, go away from us, for you are too powerful for us. Again, more envy. So Isaac in 17 departed there and camped in the valley of Gerar, and he settled there. Now, in doing that then, Isaac stayed in the land that the Lord had told him to, but he was not in his first location. Well, did he give up? Did he lose everything? Did it frustrate him? No. In verse 18, it says, Isaac dug again the wells which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham. So he just went right back, dug right back up other wells, and what happened? He was still in that position to be blessed and to be a blessing. And it says the Philistines had stopped them up after Abraham's death. So he gave them a name. And then verse 19 says, when Isaac's servants dug in the valley, they found there a well of flowing water. Can I tell you that that word for flowing there actually means living water? And when I think of living water, I think of that water that flows out from the temple in the book of Ezekiel. That we can just wade in, or we can get in and swim in, get in and be totally immersed in that living water. And even in doing that, things weren't settled. In verse 20, it says, the herdsmen of that area, of that land, argued with Isaac and said, the water is ours. So instead of taking it and saying no and telling them to go on and driving them out, what did he do? He moved away again and he dug another well. Now, in this time, now, he's dug numerous wells, and he's always blessed, and these other wells were stopped up, and now the herdsmen are taking them. But I want you to see, he left humbly. What did he know? The blessing was not on the wells. The blessing was on him. and he knew wherever he went, that blessing would be with him. And I want you to begin to see also that it was so obvious that this is why they kept driving away, because of jealousy. But they reached a point where they too saw something. So pick up in verse 26. Isaac has built located himself in Beersheba. They've got this living water, this well that's really producing. And as they, another one. And as they do, they're continuing to prosper. And look what happens in 26. Abimelech, the king, comes to him. And he comes with two guys, a commander of his army and an advisor. And in verse 27, he says to them, Isaac says to them, "Why have you come to me, since you hate me and you sent me away?" And here's what they say to him. They said, "We see plainly." Now in the Hebrew that says, we see that the Lord has been with you. Remember, the presence goes with what? The blessing. And so we said, "Let us now go there and make an oath between us, even between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you, that you will not do us harm." Now, he never was going to harm them. He never had harmed them. But they saw that he was the one that was blessed. And then it goes on and says, "Just as we've not touched you and done nothing to you but good." Now, I want you to see, that's not terribly true. They've moved them. They've pushed them out, sent them away. But yet, Isaac remains humble. Oh, that's such an important factor. He's blessed, but yet he's humble. And then he finally says in here, "You are now the blessed of the Lord." So they see that he has lived a notable life, just like the scripture we read to each week here in these past 6 weeks. They see the favor of God on him that is producing a manifestation of the blessing. And in this case, it produced what? Great wealth. So that's Isaac. It's also interesting, in this same day that this happens, his servants come to him and said, "Hey, we got another gusher." Again, the blessing is on Isaac because he stayed where the Lord told him to. And the Philistines would see the blessing as the wells. That was a manifestation of it. The blessing was because of the favor that God had toward him. The second area that we'll see increase in is in land and even in houses, or we might say today in real estate. Two examples of many. In Joshua 24, verses 12 and 13, concerning land and houses, this is what the Lord told him. "I sent the hornet before you and drove out the two kings of the Amorites from before you, but not by your sword or bow, just as we had seen, or bow, just as we had seen earlier. I gave you a land on which you had not labored." In other words, it was not their work. "And cities which you had not built, and you lived in them. You are eating of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant." So I want you to see that increase can come as the Lord moves us to places, or as he provides for us by his favor, of the blessing of land and houses. And we've seen this in our life, BJ and I, in which he has sold a house when we didn't have it up for sale and enabled us to move and increase in ways that we did not anticipate. But we were willing to follow him in those leads. I want you to also see this phrase that we just read. "I've gave you a land on which you had not labored." Now, for us, I would say that we can enter into that rest of faith, resting and let our faith do the work. But what does Scripture teach us? We must labor to enter in to the faith. And when we get there, that's when we rest and let our faith work for us. Joshua, the first chapter, the third verse, he's just taken over from Moses. And look what he told him. I mean, look at me. He's told him, "I'm going to be with you just like I'm going to be with Moses." And we know how favored Moses was. "Every place on which the sole of your foot treads," and that was what? the land that he had sent him to. Every place on which your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. So more favor concerning land for the children of Israel. The final area, and I'm going to spend a few minutes to talk about this, is concerning needs met. And I want you to look at Ruth. In the book of Ruth, and by the way, I am praying about teaching the book of Ruth in our next series as we would talk about my kinsman redeemer, your and mine, the type of which this is. In the Ruth, the first chapter, it starts out by saying there was a famine in the land. And there was, as you know, Ruth and her husband, and I won't go into all the detail, and her two sons who had married two Moabite women who had, and they had come away from Israel to this land where the favor was, where the famine was. But it says in the end of verse 6, they were going to, after they died, she heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. Now, does that sound like favor? And that's the first time you're going to see that. So she decided they would move there. In verses 14 of this chapter is where Oprah, or Orpah, I guess is the correct way to say it, she said, I'm not going to stay. Ruth encouraged them both to leave, but Ruth said what in verse 14? She said, it says, Ruth clung to her, and she said, she's gone, but she's gone back to her people and her gods, but I'm going to stay with you. And that's when she goes through the dialogue about your people shall be my people. And if we study this, we'll spend much more time in those. Look down at verse 14 then in the, verse 7 in the second chapter. No, we need to back up to 2. I'm going too fast. In verse 2, Ruth says to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean. In other words, pick up around the edges of the field what they are wasting amongst the ears of grain, that I might find one after one in whose sight I might find favor. So what is she anticipating? That she's going to be able to find favor as she does this. But she's doing it submitting herself to a very menial task. And then in verses 7 through 8, she's gone. She has found the land, but she just happened to find the land which belonged to Naomi's husband's family. Now, with no knowledge of the area, that's where she's led to. And so this is how she comes in contact with Boaz. And look at what Boaz tells her. Do not glean in another field. Do not go from this one, but stay here and keep your eyes on the field and go after them when they reap. I've commanded the servants not to touch you. That's favor. When you're thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from the servants' drawers. That's favor. Then she says that she fell on her face, and look what she asked. Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me? I'm a foreigner. So we just see favor at work for her over and over and over. And then he goes on and he gives her even more instructions, talking about that you're going to seek refuge here. But look down at verses 14 through 16 for time's sake. Mealtime, Boaz says to her, come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose to glean, he commanded the servants, let her glean even amongst the sheaves, even where the crops have been gathered. Do not insult her. And she works until evening, verse 17 says. So I want you to see that in this work of gleaning these fields, she is getting favor upon favor. She's what? Increasing in favor as she humbles herself in this effort. And how much favor did she end up with? Well, if we skip ahead and you look at chapter 4, the 22nd verse, it actually says in that chapter, the closing chapter, that And to Obed was born Jesse, and to Jesse was born David. Well, do you know who Obed was? That ended up being her son with Boaz. She, with great favor, is now part of the lineage of David, or the lineage of the Messiah. And you'll see more about that as we study it. But that's just one area in which her needs were met, but you're going to see how she was highly honored a little later on, and we'll do that when we study the book. The second area I want to talk quickly about is honor. And in honor, there are, again, several areas. 1 Samuel 3:16, verse 13, and I may not have written down the wrong scripture here. No, it's 16, and it's verse 13. It says this: Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David, him, in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and it stayed upon David from that day forward. Now, I read this one because in this day, David was honored with some high recognition. He got some preferential treatment over his brothers, who were, they said, was better looking and more mature. And then he finally got promotion. Those are the three areas that we see over and over. Let me give you some recognition examples. Exodus 11, the third verse, says that the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptian. So what happened there? That's when they were given all those promises that had been promised to them earlier, the increases of that verse we looked at when they left Egypt. And then it says, furthermore, the man Moses was greatly esteemed in the land. So again, we see it's not just about Moses, but the focus, as we talked earlier, was on the people. Again, that says to me, I'm blessed. Moses was blessed in order to what? Be the deliverer or blesser of the children of Israel. With Esther. Now, in the book of Esther, Mordecai has done something in the past where he uncovered a plot against the king. And in doing so, during the days when Haman was plotting against the Jews, the king couldn't sleep. And so he said, I want you to read about some things that happened to me. That passage was read to him. And so this is when Esther went and made a petition to the king. We'll talk more about that in a moment. And she laid out this thing that she wanted him to do. And because he favored her, he did it. And one of the things she said was, I want to let you honor a man and let this other man, who I'm going to invite to the lunch, lead him. Now, Haman, when he heard about this invitation, thought he was going to be the one that was going to be honored. But here's what happened. Haman took the robe and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and led him on horseback through the city square and proclaimed before him, thus it shall be done to the man whom the king desires to honor. Favor and honor. That just is so strong. That is so good. Preferential treatment. Genesis 39. How about to Joseph that we saw earlier? Remember when they said the Lord was with him and granted him favor in the eyes? Verse 21 and 22 says, and this is about the jailer. We've already used this one. Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness or favor to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. And that jailer just turned everything he had over to him. David, in Psalm 23, verse 5. Now, this is preferential treatment. This is a psalm we claim for ourselves. And so this Psalm of David says, you do prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Oh, does that sound like the protection we talked about? Does that sound like an abundance that we talked about, an increase in finances even, or in having your needs met? But it's also talking about what? Being honored, being treated special. And it's in the sight of your enemy today that the Lord wants to do that. Just as the enemy was looking here, there was nothing he could do to touch it. And then finally, promotion. 1 Kings 19, Elisha is out in the field. And Elijah comes by while he's plowing with 12 oxen. And Elijah passed over to him and threw his mantle on him and basically said, in doing that, what I have, what I am, is what you're going to be. The favor of the Lord move upon him. And then the last one that I want to do in this area on promotion is relative back to Mordecai. And we'll look at the details surrounding this at another time. But Mordecai, when the plot of Haman was exposed, was elevated to the number two man in the nation. And he went out from the presence of the king in royal robes of blue and white and a large crown of gold and a garment of linen and purple. And the city of Susa, where the Jews were, shouted and rejoiced. And for the Jews, so it's not just about Mordecai being favored, but the nation of Israel, God's people, you and I, for the Jews there was light and gladness and joy and honor. So again, I just want you to see, when we have one among us honored, we are all going to be lifted up. So rejoice in that. I wrote on your notes, I said, Paul, just with question mark. I want you to just look back at Paul. And when the Lord appeared to him and he fell off his horse there, I just want you to see that this was the beginning of great recognition, honor in heaven, and certainly a promotion in the assignment he would have been given. And finally, I want to wrap today up with these last two. Oftentimes, his favor will allow us to get approval or adoptions of two things, either petitions that we make to people or in laws. And I want you to see this now, and how important it is for us to believe for laws to be changed and favor to be upon us to get those laws changed, even in our nation. The first is petitions. And this goes back to Esther. It said they were drinking at the banquet, and the king said, what is your petition? For it shall be granted to you. Does that sound like the Lord saying, I've already given you this? And yet we don't receive of it so often. And what is your request? Even to half of the kingdom shall it be done. And so this is when Esther basically says, I want you to free my people and deal with the one who has caused this great horror to almost come upon us, where all of the Jews would have been killed. Again, I'm not going to go through that. I just want you to see a time when a petition was granted beyond what she could have expected. Laws. Let's go back to Daniel. Daniel has come through the test. And Darius the king wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language, May your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the Lord, the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and endures forever. And his kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed. And he says again, and his dominion, it will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He's the one who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lion's den. So I want you to see a law that caused Daniel to get thrown in. The king overturned it. Not only overturned it, but what did he do? He went above and beyond and changed the laws of the land to say, you worship Daniel's God. Might we say Daniel was quite the billboard for the Lord, to a point that the king was absolutely persuaded by the hand of the Lord being upon him to change the law of the land and to, in essence, say, Daniel's God is our God now. And then finally, changing laws. Mordecai. The king said, okay, you write the laws that you want to be established. Now, I'm not going to read this. I'm just going to tell you that you see how he changed the laws. The king changed the laws, and he not only changed them, he allowed Mordecai to write them the way they needed to be so that the Jewish people were honored and respected and prospered in his kingdom. So just to again today, some more areas where the favor of God is bestowed upon his people. I am convinced that the Lord is doing that because there are those of you who are to be awakened in each of these areas at this time to do the things that the Lord has called you to do when you may think it's impossible. But there are doors that are going to be open to you. When they are, you're going to bear witness with them. And these kinds of favor are coming to you and to me and our families so that we can accomplish in these end days what the Lord desires for us. Remember, it's not just favor so I can be blessed. We'll see this in much more detail next week as we close this study out. But it's also about the favor that can come to others through us from our Lord Jesus. His favor at work in so many areas of our lives. Be aware of it and have such strong expectation of it. We love you, and we'll finish up on the 8th and look forward to having you with us again next week.